So this morning, I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 16, Psalm chapter 16. I appreciate your pastor and wife, and I appreciate Pastor Ballard inviting me to come and be his sub today. And, of course, no one can take his place, but I'm glad to try, but at least to bring the Word of God to you. Psalm 16. Right between chapter 15 and 17. David says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rejoice or will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for Pastor Ballard. May you continue to guide and bless Eastview Baptist Church. Help us this morning as we search your truth, that we may make personal application with the aid of the Holy Spirit and find ourselves desiring to be closer to you. May you bless our guests and visitors and others, Father, and let you be honored and glorified. In Jesus we pray, amen. As you can see on the screen, the title, "I Have Set the Lord Always Before Me," Psalm 16. And we'll be focusing mainly on verse 8. There was a man who said, "You know, I used to be close to the Lord." And the gentleman next to him said, "Well, who moved?" The Lord does not leave us. We leave him. And very often, we lose the joy of our salvation. And we see in our text, in verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." When we forsake the Lord or we get away from him, we have a tendency, of course, to be discouraged and defeated and not able to live out the fullness of the Christian life. I'm sure if you're honest, and I know you are because you're a member or attendee at Eastview Baptist Church and maybe certainly other good, honest folks here, all of us have different emotions and feelings and responses every day. Now let me ask you, and you can raise your hand if you want to. If not, that's okay. But has there ever been a time that you just didn't want to come to God's house, didn't want to come to church? Now maybe you were sick or feeling bad, but maybe you just thought, "I want to stay home today." Or maybe there's times you may have thought, sure, I think all of us have been there. Or maybe you just go to work or your daily activities at home or in the community, and you think, "You know, I just don't really feel up to talking about Jesus today. You know, I just want to stay to myself and be alone and be quiet." I mean, we all have all kinds of experiences in life. And we're not always on a roll. We're not always upbeat. You know, today the thing is to be positive. I spoke to someone recently and I said, "I think it's going to snow today." And they thought I was half crazy when it was probably 90 degrees. "How do you mean that?" I said, "Well, I just want to be positive and upbeat." Well, I'd rather be a realist, but we do want to think on the things that are good and are a blessing, and the Lord's Word tells us those kind of things. But we do go through troubles in life and problems. So how do we get back to the Lord? All of us have had experiences where it seemed the Lord was distant, that somehow he was a long ways away and wasn't hearing our prayers, or he wasn't walking beside us in our trials. Now, he was and is, but sometimes we're not conscious of that. So we are the ones that have to make the proper adjustment. The Lord always takes care of his promises and himself. So we're going to look this morning at how we can have the Lord always before us. The first way is in our text and in our scriptures as a whole, is we need to set the Lord before us by focusing on his creation. Have you ever noticed the beautiful things in life that God has created? And these things that we're looking at are things that are lifeless and non-breathing, like the beautiful mountains, like the Swiss Alps or the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you've had a chance to be at the Grand Canyon. Boy, that place is deep. You know, I thought we had holes in Tennessee, but man, Arizona has a lot of holes. And they're big, but beautiful, just gasping. You can't even catch your breath. It's so magnificent. Or the stars at night when it's not cloudy, and just see the majesty and the work of the Lord. You know, we read in Psalm chapter 19 regarding creation and God's work. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. To see the hand of God that has worked years and years ago and still operates, or the ocean life. Have you ever thought about the ocean and all the different kinds of fish and life that's there? Just countless different types of fish and all kinds of creatures. God created that, and the majesty of the beauty of the sea in different colors in different parts of the world. Or the deep forest, the rainforest, the different kinds of birds, the desert sands, the rainbows. Have you ever seen a complete rainbow, or at least half of a rainbow? Just beautiful. And then, of course, we can even transfer and go over to that which has life, a newborn baby, a new Christian, a revived church. But God is wonderful and perfect and magnificent. And we need to meditate and go back and look at some of the things he has created for his glory, but for us to enjoy. Sometimes we stick to the same old things. You know, do you like reruns? Someone said they had reruns in their food. One day they would eat beans and potatoes, and the next day they'd have potatoes and beans. They'd rotate. How about TV reruns? The same thing. And you say, I've seen that four times already. And you might enjoy that. I've got some old Westerns. I probably have seen them 20, 25 times each one. But after a while, you need something fresh and something different. And we need to see things through the eyes of the Lord. And God, someone said one time when they went out in the morning and they saw the beautiful sky, every morning was distinctive and different than the one before. And the person said, you know, God paints a different picture every day. The magnificent things. See, very often when we get depressed and discouraged, we're looking and focusing upon ourselves. Not that we're not important, but very often when we focus upon ourselves, we lose sight of the Lord's presence and his power and his willingness to help us wherever we are in life and walking. He understands that we get discouraged. He understands that we can get depressed and that we make bad decisions during those times. Romans 1:20 tells us about God's creation and his witness through all the things that he has made. And Psalms 68:8 and 11 through 13 tell us more about the things of God and creation and how he's created things for us to enjoy and for his glory. So we need to contemplate. We need to meditate. We need to think about the things that God has done to put before us, so we're reminded not only of the beauty of his creation, but the beauty of himself, and even the beauty of Christ, who loved and died for us and arose again from the grave, that through faith in him we might have everlasting life. You know, for two people that are going to become close friends, they continue to learn new things about each other. Even in a marriage, we learn more and more about our partner as time goes on. And the more we think about the Lord and take note of his creation, the more we understand his greatness and our need for humility to walk with him and to enjoy him. And we learn, and that relationship grows deeper and deeper every day. Years ago, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in outside Madrid, Spain, and we would go on retreats, our church would, and down in Camp Dania, the Southern Baptist camp, and we had a prayer garden where we'd go out into that garden and pray, and we'd be able to meditate and to focus on God's creation and the beauty and the presence of the Lord. Will Slater said, "Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love." So make that a part of your practice this week of looking around you and looking at all the things that God has created for our enjoyment, and to reflect who he is and his care and his love for us. The second way that we can set the Lord before us is through God's revelation. Now, the Lord spoke through angels, and he spoke through visions and what we call theophanies, or the presence of Christ coming through at different times in the Old Testament. But God's fullest revelation was actually through Christ. We learned that in Hebrews chapter 1, that Christ is the fullness of God's revelation. But notice something in John chapter 17 in the great prayer. This is actually the Lord's prayer. Matthew 6 is the model prayer. But in Matthew chapter 17, we read what the Lord says in verse 14. "I have given them your word." That's Jesus talking. In other words, Jesus was a full manifestation of God the Father. He came as God the Son, the full revelation that was greater than the angels, greater than the visions, and greater than all the other things that God and how he spoke to people. But here was God's full message to a lost and dying world, was Jesus. And when he died on the cross, shedding his blood for your sins and my sins, because we're natural born sinners. And then after we're born, we still sin, because we can't stop sinning. Just like a dog can't stop barking unless his vocal cords are taken out. And we just do that. But Jesus loved us so much, he called us out of our sinful ways. And when we respond to the gospel message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but may have everlasting life. And then Jesus accepts us as his own. But he, in turn, gives us the Holy Spirit, we learn in John 14 through 16. And he gives us his word. And he says there in verse 14 in John 17, "I have given them your word." And so God has given us the word. And so the revelation of God stopped in the person of Jesus and stopped in the written scriptures. And the church as a whole acknowledged that in 400 A.D., that the 66 books that we have is the final revelation of God. God does not give new revelations. What he does do is give us personal revelations from his scripture, meaning he opens our eyes to understand great truth and to understand his word. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you're welcome to turn there with me. And that way, if I misquote it, you'll know it and be able to tell me about it. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them in us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit work together, they never contradict each other. They're co-eternal and co-equal. The same with the Word of God. Those of you that are deeper Bible students know that Jesus in John chapter 1 is called the Logos. He is the eternal Word. He is the spoken Word. He is the full revelation of God in person and in speech. And then we have the written Word. And God's written Word, God's Holy Spirit speaks through the written Word and reveals to us its meaning. Have you ever studied the Bible and you said, you know, I just don't know what that verse means? It may be that we need to study more and pray more and wait upon God in faith. And then in due time, he may unveil our eyes to see what that scripture really means. And sometimes I find things in the scriptures that just amaze me, and very often that happens. I shouldn't say sometimes, very often, almost all the time. And I said, Lord, I've never seen that before, but I cannot explain it to another person. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so for us to draw close to the Lord, we need to get in his Word. Show me someone that is walking away from the Lord. They're not enjoying fellowship with the Lord or with his people. And I'll show you someone that's not in the Word, or they're not reading it with the right motive, with the right purpose, and with the right focus. Amen? You can even say amen if you want to. Yeah, let me know you're out there. So the scriptures does speak to these things. And Jesus said in John 17:7, thy word is truth. Now I want to turn to the longest chapter in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken. And you know of it, Psalms 119. You know there are 176 verses in Psalms 119? There really are. And I want to read verses 92 and 93 in Psalms 119. Unless your law had been my delight, I then would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. So David, who wrote Psalm 119, understood the very power of God's Word. And certainly Jesus did. Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. But in Psalm 119, 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My, what a promise. And then 147 and 148 in this same great chapter, 148 in Psalm 119. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. Now, I have found, and I'm not the primary example, but I can share with you as a friend, and you can share with me the things God has taught you, but I have found that there are times when I read God's Word and nothing seems to be happening. I'm just going through the motions, just going through a procedure, you know, like checking off, well, I read the Bible, I read this book. And sometimes it seems God is distant. It may be God's using that to test us. It could be Satan's working on us too. But let's continue to be disciplined to love the Word of God and love the Lord and read and study and meditate and research and let God, in due time, those curtains will open up. The light will shine in our soul and in our thinking, and the Word is quick and active and alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:12. And the Scriptures will speak to us, and you want to shout out at times, oh, my Lord, look at what I've learned here. Look at what you've taught me. And you want to tell somebody, and everybody's in bed or asleep or at school or at work or somewhere else. And even with your excitement, they may not immediately catch until they themselves get into God's Word and study it and read it. And first thing you know, you're both running down the street screaming. And you're walking together, and you're walking with the Lord's presence. There's not a better place to be than in the will of God. But we cannot be in the will of God if we're not in his Word. And we must be in His Word. And as we're in His Word, seeking to do His will, the Holy Spirit is present and Christ is among us and the Lord is present. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day, God in His mercy comes. With His Word He is drawing near, spreading His love and truth around me and everywhere. I heard a story about a man that went to a foreign country to sell shoes. And he went over there to try to sell those shoes, and he came back to the company and said, "Those people, they don't even wear shoes. Why, they don't care about shoes. I couldn't sell anything." So they sent another guy, and he went. And he saw so many prospects, he couldn't have enough shoes. He had to call the company up, "Send lots of shoes. We've got all kinds." What made the difference? One took note in the eyes of the company and of his purpose and saw the opportunities. You know, when we spend time with the Lord and in His Word, things begin to come together. We're conscious of our sinfulness. We confess to the Lord, and great things start happening. He unblinds us to where we can see. He shows us fresh and different things. He renews us in our spirit, and the Word comes alive, and we're back on the road again. Sound like that song, "On the Road Again"? Well, this is on the spiritual road again. So after we spend time in realizing that the Lord has a beautiful creation and His Word, then we get into prayer and spend time with the Lord. You know, David got with the Lord many times. And in Psalm 32, he was with the Lord and he began to confess his sins to the Lord. And the Lord covered them. He forgave them. And then we know Jesus. If Jesus saw the need to pray, how much more should we? Because He wanted to be close to His Heavenly Father. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Lord, not my will, but Thy will." And He even prayed that same prayer again in the latter verses of chapter 26 of Matthew that just astonish us. We need to let the Lord know our deepest need. We say, "Well, if He's God, He already knows." Yes, He does. But He wants us to know that He knows. And He wants to hear us acknowledge that we know that we know and that we need Him. How many of you love your children? Do you ever tell them you love them? Well, don't they know it already? Why do you keep telling them? Huh? Because you want to strengthen that relationship and enjoy each other. It's a good thing. And the Lord loves to hear us say, "I love you, Lord." Can you say that? "I love you, Lord." And the Lord blesses us and shows us His great truths for us. The Lord not only speaks through the things we've spoken about, the revelation, the prayers, the creation, and we set Him before us through these things, but also in our fellowship with each other. I'm not a drinking man, but I do need some water, so if you'll pardon me. Set the Lord before us through fellowship. You know, two people can do more than one person. Southern Baptists learned that a long time ago. That's why we started the cooperative program and working with one church and another church. First thing you know, we have a whole bunch. We've got nearly 50,000 Southern Baptist churches. I've not been to all of them, have you? But you know, they're full of people. Well, most of them are. A lot of them are, should be. But there are people there just like you and I that get discouraged. And we need each other as people. And the Bible tells us that, yes, we can depart from the Lord. Hebrews 3:12, that the Lord doesn't leave us, we leave Him. In fact, there's a strong warning there from the Lord Himself through the writer of Hebrews that tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, "Beware, brethren," so He's talking to Christians, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So it's very serious business to forsake the Lord, to walk away from Him, to go the opposite direction, or to pay lip service to our profession. And so the Lord will do all to draw us back. And He uses different methods in doing that. But we need to realize beforehand that it is possible to depart from the Lord And he tells us that here in other places. And so we need to see the importance of being together in God with God's people. Look with me in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Now, if it wasn't possible, the author wouldn't make the warning. If someone says, watch out for that rattlesnake, that means there's a rattlesnake there. That bridge is washed out. There must be a bridge there. Just logical. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us, see, it's a church body, it's a body of believers. Let us, even the author says, let us, I mean, he's including himself, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, when God's people have agreed to meet, whether it's Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Sunday, whatever, as much as we can, we need to make every effort to be present. Not a legalistic, oh, I did my duty, but where we desire to be drawn closer to the Lord and to be closer to with his people. You see, the psychologists learned a long time ago, and the Lord knew it before they did, that an individual has their own personality. But when you put a group of people together, they develop a personality. And so when we have a collective, caring, cautious, wise, loving body that reflects Jesus, then we develop the personality of Christ. And we operate according to his spirit and his word, and then we're able to sense the presence of God. Do you sense the presence of God when you come to God's house? We got to come looking and ask the Lord to make us aware, you know. Some folks can sit on the same pew, and one's enjoying the Lord, and the other one can't get away fast enough, see. And so a lot of times, kind of like preaching, someone said, I didn't get a thing out of that sermon. Well, did you come to listen and learn and to seek, or did you come to for some other reason? And so if we want to get close to the Lord, we have to purposely make the effort with his help and guidance to fellowship with God's people. And so we see that, and our time is running out, but I'll be quick. I'll just do it extemporaneously. That's a big word that means you won't read your notes. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had performed a miracle with God's power to help a crippled man walk again. The crippled man was praising the Lord, and the religious people got jealous and offered persecution to Peter and John, these ignorant, unlearned men, and warned them and this, that, and the other. But you know what? They went back to the church and said, let's have a prayer meeting and ask God for boldness, and it worked. In Acts chapter 12 was a guy named Peter. You've heard of him, the one that denied Christ three times. And Peter was in prison, and the Lord sent an angel to turn him loose. And the church didn't believe it and wrote a rent to the door and said, hey, Peter's at the door. God's turning him loose. I said, yeah, well, you're crazy. But you know what? Because the church had prayed for Peter, and God turned him loose, he answered their prayers. They didn't believe it, and when the evidence was there, they didn't know what to do. But Peter went back to the church to express to them thanks, but also to show them that God answers prayer, and they were being drawn closer to the Lord. How about you this morning? Are you wanting to be closer to the Lord? To sense his presence once again, and not only for you, but to intercede on behalf of others who've went through tragedy or trials or problems or all kinds of things that have a tendency to push us away from the Lord or draw us away from the Lord. But we want the Lord and we need the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you know you need the Lord to have eternal life. Hear the words of Isaiah 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there's none else. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when a person realizes they have a problem, that's when they start seeking help. Don't be ashamed if you have a problem or a whole group of them, but be trusting in the Lord and say, God, I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, and even willing to tell others, maybe even the church body, I have problems. I don't sense your presence, Lord, or I want to sense more of your presence than ever before. First and foremost, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, repenting, turning away from all wrong, and surrendering my life to you. And then as a believer, Lord, I want to walk close to you each day. Help me, Lord, to spend time meditating on your creation, spending time in your word, spending time in prayer, and fellowshipping with your people. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us, and help us to be faithful to you and responding in faith. May we confess Christ. May we obey Christ for his glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.